Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving, and I mean mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord my God and King. I'm so glad that I have a King, and He is the King of Kings. You know, sometimes I like to watch Star Wars, movies like Star Wars, and I like Star Trek, I like to watch it. I've always liked to watch it, you know. And they always have some kind of problem they gotta solve. But when you see the things that they're trying to solve, it's the same kind of problems people are trying to solve in their everyday life. But I am so thankful. Hear me good. I'm so thankful that we serve the problem solver. There is a war in the universe. It started before God made Adam, and in the restoration week, we had to have a restoration week because a war started. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Did you know that's the only creation scripture in Genesis? Verse 1. Verse 2 is a restoration. It's the counter to the destruction that God had, the judgment that God that had to happen. The earth has been judged before. So we're looking at the restoration week. So the restoration week mirrors the covenant week. Everything God did the first 7 days that He said, let there be light. That was the first day. The glory of God shone upon the earth. And I say this, and I put it this way. I say it boldly. All right, all the stars was off. The sun was off. So if the sun was off, the moon was off. And all the stars in the heavens off. They were there, but they were off. Because God was doing something. He said, let there be light. His glory shone upon the earth. And I say, just understanding the glory of God. If He said, let there be light, and He had all the other lights off, this means that the glory of God could shine anywhere throughout creation. I believe it's shone throughout creation. However far from earth to the last planet that He made at that time. All eyes could see what the Lord was doing. He was making a statement, folks. See, the glory of God is great. And the glory of God, when it was the cloud by day and the fire by night, that was the glory of God. Sometimes we know the glory of God as light. We know it as a cloud. The Hebrews knew it as a cloud by day and a fire by night. The Egyptians didn't know it because they couldn't see through it. So anybody that God don't want to see through it or to see it at all, they can't see it. It's for those that love God. See where the glory is. You know, I was thinking about that this morning. And I was dropping my daughter off at mother's house, at my mother-in-law's house. I thought about this. The glory goes where it does what God wants it to do. And I thought about how we as men and women of God, we enter into His glory. You know, people say, well, we're gonna grow and get to the next level. I like to say the next glory, because Paul said that we grow from glory to glory. All right. So if whatever God anointed you to do and whatever He revealed for you to do, you can operate in that glory. Okay. So as you grow from glory to glory, you can operate in a greater glory. And so you'll be able to see revelations that pertain to that glory. Even in the Word of God. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but our ability to receive from it increases as we go to the next glory. People have tried to see things from the glory that they're at. But see, when God anoint a person, He anoint people that's mature. You know, when I asked Him His definition of the anointing, He said it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. All right. Man or woman means maturity. And in the word, when people were anointed, just like Saul was anointed with a vial of oil, David was anointed with a horn of oil, Jephthah was anointed with oil, but Jeroboam was anointed with cloth. The prophet tore 10 pieces of his robe and gave it to him, said, 10 are yours, 10, that which represented 10 tribes. He was not worthy to be anointed with oil. And, you know, the prophet didn't pour any oil on him. But he turned out, when he went to Egypt, fleeing Solomon, he came back full of witchcraft. He came back a witch, basically, and had Israel operating in sin. He caused Israel to sin. And every king of Israel afterwards, even Jehu, ended up sinning just like Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And then when Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter, then the kings of Judah started having trouble from that point on. So when you study these things, I said all that, went all around the world to say that God, people walk in the glory in measure. So when you mature and God give you things to do and you do it, you're faithful, you become anointable. If you, okay, as long as your foundational, you will be anointable. That's what I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, how sometimes, and I'm dealing with problems that people have. When you endeavor to know God with all your heart, you want to do, like I say, I'll do all that's in my heart. Some of you say the same thing. Some of you say, that's a good idea. I'm going to confess that as well. Because it helps you make adjustments. It's kind of like driving down the street, down along a highway, a freeway. Now, I used to listen to Frank Matchin back in the day. He said, the best way to drive is look way down the road, and your body will make your hands, and you know, when you're driving the car, your hands will make the minute adjustments, and you can drive steady. But if you look 10 feet in front of the car or 4 feet in front of the car, you're going to drive nervously. All right? So when you looking way down the road, you make the necessary corrections. Okay, so when I condition myself that I will do all this in God's heart, it helps when I'm faced with things, or when I make a decision to watch certain movies, for instance, or listen to music or whatever. I've already said I will do all this in God's heart. So if anything that's offensive or movies are neither here nor there. You know, nobody got hurt or shot or anything in the movies, but anything that doesn't pertain to life and godliness, you'll lose your appetite for it. When you confess that you'll do all this in God's heart, when that's what you want to do. And also my other confession is everything that's not like Jesus got to go. So a lot of things I don't want to see anymore. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, it vexed Lot's. It vexed a lot being in that city, in that turmoil. So when it's time for me to, I try to reward myself every day with something that I like, whether it's reading a book or watching godly videos on YouTube or watching a movie. I love movies and I enjoy them, and it's not wrong, you know, but some things can be offensive to the things of God, and I have no appetite for that. So when you do things, whatever you do, when you set your heart to love everything of God and hate everything of the world, you'll make the minute adjustments that you need to make along the way of life. And I said all that to say that. When you make confessions, it helps stabilize you. When God gives you something that's new to you, it makes it so much easier to trust Him. When you set your heart to love God's heart, to love His ways, His people, His word, the assignment that He gave you. And I do it. I use confessions all the time. But, I don't wait till something pop up and then say, oh, I hope I do right now. No, I've already set the standard years ago from the time I first said I would do all that's in God's heart every day and often. Whenever I pray, I thank God. I end my prayer, Lord, help me do all this in your heart. When I pray with others, help us do all this in your heart. This is my a way of life. This is a dirty world we live in, so you have to use your countermeasures. Now, from being faithful, you enter into a greater glory, and you start understanding things that you used to couldn't see before. As you study the Word, as the Holy Spirit speak to you, He started giving you greater information, showing you visions you've never seen. These things they're in the next glories that you're gonna walk in. And sometimes even your teachers, people that you love, pastors, teachers, evangelists, people that you listen to on TV, if you keep pursuing God, drawing near to Him, He's going to draw near to you at your pace. You don't have to wait on somebody else to get it first. That's way ahead of you, so to speak. No, it doesn't work. God will bless you where you are. If you know, it is possible to be able to attain greater knowledge that other people may not be getting. David said, the Word has made me wiser than my teacher and also the ancients. So how hungry are you to walk in God's Word? Now, I like to stir the pot. This is how I do it. See, anybody that's receptive to the things of God, if they ever get to a point where they trust God, people have been taught well about faith. The faith teachers did a good job teaching people about faith. But if when people have a relationship with God and they trust Him, they can obey Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Lean not unto your own understanding. I probably chopped it up, but you get the point. When you get to a point that you trust God, you can rest when you're not sure. You can rest in Him. When you know something's of Him, you trust that you trust Him because of the past. When He gives you something new to do, when you're receptive to the Word, that's you know James put it this way. He said, James 3. He said verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. See that? That's what that without partiality. Just because you're not even a preacher yet, don't mean that you can't learn what others have not learned yet. God is with it. The wisdom of God is without partiality and without hypocrisy. If you're able to receive a thing, God will give it to you if you're faithful enough to walk on it. He knows that whether you're faithful enough or not. If He teach you anything, you are faithful enough to hold on to it and use it in your life. And see, and then He said this, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So when you go about in your life doing good, rejoicing and embracing the things of God, you become a candidate for the next glory of God's will for you. Now, if you learn something that other people can't receive, and I have done this, the glory won't reveal itself to everybody. In other words, God will help the Holy Spirit. He will help you handle holy things correctly. I'm saying these things because many of you love God and you're going to walk into things that I walked into in the 80s and 90s. Now, the reason I bring these things up is very crucial that I do, because sometimes you're going to see things and you'll expect other people to know it and they don't. And they'll respond however they respond, some negatively, some positively. But see, I'm going to tell you something. I've learned this also. Sometimes the moves of God have been quenched by people that didn't understand the next glory that God was doing. And so when people bumped into it or began to walk into it, the people that they looked to, godly people, you know, the men of God and women of God that they looked to, didn't see it. And then people give advice without prayer. You know, there's a Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 14, since I brought that up. Very important to understand. Sometimes people they'll see something of God and won't know how to handle it. Or sometimes there's Cain jealousy. I talked about that. And because of Cain jealousy, they have a problem with people when they if they see something and they can't do it, but somebody that of a lesser stature do, you know, somebody they expect to be on a much lower level, as they would put it, they might respond negatively. Now, once you receive something from God, hear me good. Hold on to it with all you got. Don't let people. I used to have to hide revelation from people. I learned that I can't tell everybody every little thing I learned, because sometimes people will wrestle with it, cause they'll doubt it and cause me to doubt it. So I had to make a firm decision that I had to protect what God had given me, and I had to walk in it to the point that I got a hold of it and use it in life. Then I could go to the next glory and then the next glory. And then the Holy Spirit will help you to know who to reveal it to and when. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And another one said, "Whoever judges a matter before they hear it, it is shame to him." Now, let's see. I highlighted in my phone, but every time I get ready to find it, I have to find it again. So here it is. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. This is Proverbs 18, verse 13. Now, this is the one that I was really trying to get to. I had written it down, but both of them apply. Verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." So many people have done this. And I'm talking about good men and women of God. They did it without thinking. They critique, preachers critique preachers. And you shouldn't do that. Everybody's walk. I'm saying this for a reason. The reason is people make mistakes. Even anointed people make mistakes. Even people that have walked in greater glories and they are anointed, they can still make mistakes. So you have to know when, you know, you can tell by the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit give you? He gave you insight. It was first, just like in James. It was first peaceable, pure, easy to be entreated, it was without hypocrisy. You know, I just read it. So it was true, and you could tell. It was peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality. That's the word, without hypocrisy. So God gave you something, you were at a point to receive. Well, guess what? People you don't know, God is working with them too by the Holy Ghost. We all have different situations, different creative abilities that God gave us. Some people have more educated parents or less educated parents. And some people have gifts which enable them to walk in greater glories and speak far beyond their years. But a proud mind will be offended. A humble mind will be amazed. Some people will try to protect you. They think you're too young to know something like that. And they know how people are. And they'll try to encourage you like I'm doing. Hold on to it. Don't get a good grip. Don't let people snatch it from you. And you know, there are some wonderful people out there. Some people are wiser. Some people walk in greater measures of wisdom than others. But I'm not trying to compare people with people, because that's not the thing to do. But people do choose to walk in wisdom at various times in their life, and sometimes people may not walk in that same wisdom at other times in their life. So when you're handling holy things, there's a devil out there that don't want people to know. They don't want the things of God to enter this realm. And the knowledge of God enters this realm, the earthly realm, by people who live here. Your flesh gives you authority to be here and operate in this realm. So when God gives you something, that knowledge and wisdom or that counsel has a purpose here. And you have to protect it. You know, Paul said we're stewards of the mysteries of God. And when some people are too immature to deal with it, it's all right. Don't give it to them. The Holy Spirit will help you manage it. Sometimes, I used to get excited to the pure. Everybody's pure, you know. And I had to learn from that scripture, because God would show me something. I'm excited. I get excited when I hear something new from God, you know. And I want to share it with my with people that I love, my friends, family, co-workers. Well, when I'm about to share it to the Rome, you know, these were pastors, though. That's what puzzled me. I thought they'd receive it. But sometimes people, they give in to culture more than they should. And the Holy Spirit didn't, he helped me to not get talk too much. He caused me to forget the revelation in that moment, in their presence. And then when I leave their presence, I'm halfway home, then it comes back, all of it. And I started paying attention, because Paul said, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. What do swines do with pearls? That's not food. It's not valuable to them. What did Esau do with his birthright? He sold it for a bowl of soup. It wasn't valuable to him. So what's valuable to you, it may not always be valuable to others. They may, you know, sometimes I try to whet people's appetite. I may say a comment to see if they'll dialogue with me, because I sense that they have a strong love for God, and I know that they are strong in faith. And I like to see people go forward. And if I think the knowledge that God give me will help them do a better job or help them in life, I'm all for it. That's what this is for. I don't own the revelation. I'm a steward of it. God gave it to me freely, and I want to give it to anybody who will receive it and handle it in a holy manner. But guess what? God knows who worship him in spirit and in truth. And he also knows when people, if they don't have that pure foundational love, if they don't at least have their first love when they first met Jesus, if they let that get away from them, they're not going to be able to walk in greater glories. They're going to go back and they got to go back and find their first love before they can grow any further in life. When people stop being foundational, they stop being anointable also. And I can prove it. All you got to do is look at what Jesus said to the seven churches. He said, let him that hear what the Spirit says to the church. He really wants us to get it. Because if you can't be foundational in those seven ways. Now, two churches, he didn't have to rebuke, but he told them things to do. We need to do the things he said do, and make sure we don't do the things that he said don't do. And we'll always be appropriate in life. I'm saying these things because as God gives you greater measures of revelation, you know, he expects you to be faithful with it. And some people are not, they won't urge you to be faithful with it. Some people will get jealous against you. Some people will even talk about you. They'll act on fears. I've had all these things to happen. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you brought this to me. You had me to go a certain way to learn these things. I saw what happened to the people that didn't move on and go to the next glory and follow God to his specifications for a reason. And then I experienced things that people don't want to talk about. And then, now why did I go through all that? And then I couldn't teach them. because I tried to. I tried to open their eyes to it, but I had to do it the way God said it. And when they wouldn't hear, it's like God was all right. He didn't move on me to go back and try to make people learn something that they wasn't a student about. You know, you got to have a student's attitude. And I'm going to tell you this. Anybody that has something from the Lord, God gave them more than they reveal. And if you allow yourself to be a student and hear them out, you can avoid a lot of mistakes. Because here I was, a 25, 26, 27-year-old. I had been called to the ministry. God anointed me to be on. I had the apostles' anointing. And in my early late 20s, early 30s, I'm doing these things. I'm writing words to people. I mean, I'm trying to encourage them in the things of God. I knew a lot more than God gave. And then everybody else that God was working with, they had a revelation about these things. Some people have revelation knowledge about the gifts of the Spirit. And they operate in the healing gifts in greater measure, like my pastor does. You know, he lay hands on all of us in the church, and we lay hands on people and they get healed. But he trains in it, whereas I train in the knowledge of following God. But guess what? Most people won't listen. They won't hold a long conversation with me about these things. I said, well, wait a minute, Lord. It seems like nobody really wants this knowledge. And I thought he was going to raise up pastors and send me to pastors again. And he kept telling me, he said, for 3 years, every day he told me, people are going to want to hear you. Before I did this website, I said, okay. And he spoke in repetition often, almost every day, if not every day. He said, people are going to want to hear you. And I knew he was prepping me for something, because when God speaks in repetition, he doesn't do that unless you're in faith, and also unless he's building you up for the next glory. In 2016, when he gave me this assignment, I said, oh, that's where it's going. He told me to do as many broadcasts as I possibly could. I used to do two a day. And I needed time. My broadcast started sounding alike. I said, Lord, something's wrong. All the broadcasts sound so much alike. And Brenda, Sister Brenda came up to me. She said, the Lord told me to tell you that your prayer bank how does she say? Your prayer bank has gone down. Well, how did she put it? I don't know if she said empty or I needed to build up my prayer bank. It was something like that. But when I talked about it on the broadcast when it happened, I said, thank you. She kind of nervously told me about it. I said, no, thank you. I appreciate that. It helped me know what to do. So I used to do my broadcast on the way to work. I wake up fresh. I like to do these broadcasts in the morning if possible. Something like tonight, I'm doing this one in the evening. But I my favorite is to do them in the morning. My first fruit. I want to do that. Give that to God. I just woke up. I'm fresh, and I'm driving to work. You used to hear my auto noise or my truck noise when I'm driving, or if I'm driving in the minivan, and I do these broadcasts. And so I get all the way, you know, and then on the way home, I pray in the Holy Spirit after Brenda told me what she said. Yeah, she said, my prayer bank is low. That's what she said. My prayer bank is low. And I said, thank you. So praying in the Holy Spirit helps stir up the things of God. Now, I like to pray in the Holy Spirit. When I stay up late or when I'm working and listening to the word, I like to pray in the Holy Spirit. I like to work alone because I can pray in the Holy Spirit at my own pace. I can listen to the word. And that's why I used to love to work early in the morning, because I had less interruptions. But when I would be at work, people would ask me about, they'll ask me automotive questions all day long. And I'd be trying to concentrate on the things of God and what I was trying to do on my own work, and people asking me about cars. I said, well, when I retire and go home like I am now, I can work at my pace and I have less interference. Well, guess what? People call all day about their cars. But, you know, God graces us for what we do. The things of God are important. Sometimes the glories that you walk in and the revelation that God gives you, it's very important that you get a hold of it and keep it. Don't let the wiles of the devil, the lack of knowledge of men, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of those things is sorrow. But walk in the love of God. Keep everything God give you. And remember, now James 3 and verse 1 says, my brethren, be not men and masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. That was a song I used to love to listen to, and Blake used to sing it. He used to sing that, let my words be few. You know. And consider that, what James is saying here. Be not men and masters. Now, when God give you a revelation, you have an understanding of things. You have his counsel, knowledge, wisdom. You have an understanding on a revelation that people may not have, which is great, which is fine. But it's got to go to the people that God graced you to give it to. And you may have to conceal it from people that will waste it and reveal it to people that will be like Jacob. You know, the birthright was important to Jacob, but it was not important to Esau. Now, you're going to face these things in life. That's just how it is. But the Holy Spirit will help you be Holy Ghost appropriate. Now, that's a new term. Holy Ghost appropriate. And you'll be able to walk in that in the next glory. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. And remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is Lord. And live your life in faithfulness to God. Enjoy the next glory.